there's something that we always really, really push to remember. And that's, you know, everything that's happened is because of one dog. And that's something that we strive for our fosters to remember and for us to remember that, you know, one dog has saved hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of senior dogs.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and this is Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Today, Marisa and Chris Hughes share the story of Moses, the dog that inspired them to do the impossible. If you're new to Dog Words, in each episode, we explore the world of dog care and companionship. We Save Each Other is the motto of Rosie Fund, which simply means the more we do for dogs, the more they do for us, and they already do a lot. If you love dogs, you'll love Dog Words. We welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions. Go to the podcast page at rosiefund.org to share your thoughts. Please download, follow, rate, and most importantly, share Dog Words. Celebrate 5 years of Rosie Fund by supporting our campaign to sponsor 50 dogs. You can donate on our website or Facebook page. You can also contribute by making a purchase from the store on our website, buying a t-shirt at bonfire.com, or buying our note cards and shirts on barkyours.com. Links are in the description. Your donations and purchases help fund the Rosie Life Starter Kits that make sure these senior and harder-to-adopt dogs have some of the items they'll need in their forever home. Please follow Rosie Fund on social media, subscribe to the free Rosie Fund YouTube channel that offers great videos of Rosie, Peaches, and shelter dogs, including some exclusive content like the Sweet Casey Pet Project dog featured in our latest post. Next time on Dog Words, Caitlin Thompson tells us how Melissa's Second Chances is uniting pets with their forever families. The mission of Rosie Fund is to provide humans with the resources and education they need to give senior and harder-to-adopt dogs a better life. We thank you for joining our mission. Today on Dog Words, we welcome Chris and Marisa Hughes, the founders of the Mr. Mo Project. Thank you for joining us from Albany, New York.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Mr. Mo Project is aligned perfectly with the mission of Rosie Fund, the sponsor of Dog Words. We try to help senior and harder to adopt dogs find their forever home. And that's exactly what you're doing for senior dogs. I want to know all about that. But first, give me the background on both of you. Have you always been dog people? What is your connection with dogs?
Yeah, I am more a dog person than I am a human person, I think, at this point. Mm-hmm. I have been in rescue since I was about 23, I guess. I got my first greyhound from a greyhound rescue group locally. And then when I met Chris, he had 6 dogs and I had 2, and we kind of merged our families. And it's been bliss ever since until we grew to a pack of, at one point we had 22. And now we're at 19.
Yeah. And I have also been same boat, been involved with dogs my whole life. We moved here from England when I was young, and my mom was not allowed to have dogs in her family. So we started adopting dogs really young, and I've always had multiple dogs at our house.
So. I've seen some of them in the background already, and our listeners will hear a few of them. You have some beautiful dogs as your pack has grown. What prompted you to move this beyond just having your own giant pack to starting the Mr. Mo Project?
I've been involved in rescue. Like, I started a rescue. I moved back home called Rowdy to the rescue when I was about 22 years old. And I ended up taking a dog named Moses, who was a senior at a shelter in Seminole County, Florida. He was surrendered for being too old. And then they tried to adopt a puppy that same day from the shelter. And I received this picture of him wearing this black tie, and it was this professional picture. He just looked so dapper. I just kind of knew I needed him. He was this pity that had really horribly cropped ears, and he was just adorable. So we brought him home, and with all the intentions of actually adopting him out through the rescue, like, he was not supposed to stay, but he ended up fitting so well into the house that he ended up just kind of becoming part of the pack. And this was right before I met Marisa.
And this is a dog that a family had decided does not fit our household anymore.
Yeah.
Turns it in, surrenders it, which I get, because we volunteer at KC Pet Project, and I get it when somebody is senior themselves and they can't take care of themselves, or they're having to go into assisted living, and it breaks their heart that they have to give up their canine or feline companion. but I don't have the same understanding for someone who does that so that they can adopt a puppy.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't. I'm happy I don't get it, because I feel like if I got it, I would be in their mindset, and I don't want to be in their mindset. Yeah.
And a puppy is less work than a senior dog?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't. I really don't get it.
Yeah, most senior dogs are less work than a puppy. Yes, they'll have health issues that you need to address, but you're not teaching them how to be house trained and to sit and stay and walk on a leash.
No, it is. I mean, Moses came here and he fit right in. He was he just, you know, slept and, you know, played and ran around. Like, I don't know. He was just such a perfect dog.
Moses was truly like the glue of our pack. He was like the grandfather of the pack. He didn't eat anything for 21 months. And then on month 22, he just had some trouble walking, and we took him to the vet, and they said he had old man vestibular. It was Valentine's Day, actually. And neither of us felt comfortable with that diagnosis. It just didn't fit. So that weekend, Chris took him to Cornell Veterinary College, which is just like 3 hours from us. And we're so, so grateful it is, because we're there all the time. And he ended up being diagnosed with an inoperable spinal cord tumor that was growing into his spinal cord. And they gave him 4 weeks to live. As a mother, I was not willing to let someone give my child 4 weeks to live. So I gave him more than that, but not by much. He lived 5 weeks. And he died at home in our arms. Mm-hmm. But it was terrible. As newlyweds, we spent everything we had. We sold everything in our house that wasn't nailed down to pay for what we could for like MRI.
Yeah, we sold our hot tubs. Like, we needed an MRI, and that was the only way we could get a true diagnosis. You know, we moved in, we have the house, we put all of our money into this, you know, into our, you know, marriage and the home. And we didn't want to accept, you know, not do it. So we had a hot tub, and I put it up on Craigslist at the time, because that was the way to sell things, and put it for the exact price we needed for the MRI. And it sold that day. And, you know, we were able to get the MRI done.
I know if you were put in the same situation, you would make the same sacrifices again. So there's no need for me to say, I'm sorry you had to sell all your earthly possessions. No, but that's, I guess, it's hard not to be disappointed that someone would give up a dog like Moses. But I'm so glad that we live in a world where Moses ended up where he needed to be. If their mindset was already that they were considering abandoning a dog, surrendering a dog that's inconvenient, there was no way they would have given him the best 4-5 weeks of his life that you were able to give him.
There's something that we always really, really push to remember, and that's, you know, everything that's happened is because of one dog. And that's something that we strive for our fosters to remember, and for us to remember, that, you know, one dog has saved hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of senior dogs. We're very grateful to have been able to be his parents, really. Yeah.
Listeners who don't know the story of Rosie, the inspiration for Rosie Fund, I'll link to the episode where we talk about our short time with her and how she inspired us to start this foundation that's helped dogs, the same way Moses has inspired you to help hundreds of dogs. So you gave Moses the best end-of-life care any animal could have, not just a dog, any loved one. But it's a big step to go from taking care of your Moses to then helping dogs you've never even met. How did that happen?
Well, I mean, I remember after Moses passed away, you know, everything that we put into it and everything, you know, the cost-wise, we were driving down the road, and I looked at Marisa and said, we should start saving senior dogs and paying all of their medical expenses for the rest of their life.
And I said, that's an awful idea. That is like the worst idea you've ever had. We just, you know, we just went through everything we had to pay for Moses just to pass away. How are we going to do that? And he said, I don't know, but we're going to do it. And I thought, okay, you know, he likes to start stuff and then not finish it. So this will be something else that he starts and doesn't finish. Well, I have never been so wrong. He started this and within weeks had the paperwork, had the 501c3, had the bylaws, had it all figured out. And we started saving dogs immediately.
Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is acting in spite of fear. I think it says more that Marisa was practical. Like, that's a terrible idea. It is a terrible idea. How could you possibly pull that off?
I mean, it's still 8 years later, still probably one of my worst and best ideas I've ever had, because the stress that has come from this and the heartbreak, you know, there's incredibly happy moments, but there's some just incredibly heartbreaking moments that, you know, you wish you just never have to go through. But I don't know. I mean, the project, it's truly our life's work. Like, everything that kind of embodies, you know, her and I together is into the project.
People who don't run a non-for-profit, especially one that's a literal mom and pop like yours, they may think, all right, you're doing charity golf tournaments and fundraisers and having gala events, and then you sort through applications and mail off checks. That's how your nonprofit works. And then you accept your awards for all the great work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's 99% glamour. It's like, no, it's not even 1% glamour. It's zero glamour.
No. I think it's one thing when you have the time, and, you know, we both work full-time jobs. It's like three full-time jobs. You know, we have our actual full-time job, the full-time job of running the project with 130 plus dogs currently in foster care, and then our 19 dogs at our house. Like, it's nonstop. So I'm still waiting for that 1% glamour to find its way to us.
Yeah. Take a picture of that moment, post that.
Yeah.
How do you connect with the dogs that need your program?
Somehow they find us. It's incredible, actually, how it happens. I think Moses has a hand in it. I think just the universe has a hand in it. We work with New York City a lot. They reach out to us. There's a lot of really incredible shelters that are doing a lot of hard work every day. New York City shelters are one of them. North Carolina shelters, they know to reach out to us when they have a dog that they will literally say, this is a Mr. Mo dog.
Cindy just called.
We've just missed a call from the rescue coordinator in North Carolina. So that means I have a Mr. Mo dog is what she'll say. Sometimes it's a cat. Owners will call us when they, you know, have an animal that they need to surrender or that they need help with, that they love dearly and want to keep, but they just don't have the funds to do it. So they find us, and when they do, it's like very meant to be, and we feel a connection with those people and with those animals, and we end up staying in touch with either the owners, the fosters, the shelters, all of them forever.
There are many arms to the Mr. Mo Project. It started as one, like, kind of center hub, I guess, you know, where we wanted to save senior dogs. But as the years have gone by and things have evolved and we've met new people and we've met new shelters and we've met new veterinarians and hospitals, we've branched off into where now we have, like, the senior, which the main, you know, the 90-95% of our program is senior. But then we have our special needs care where we take congenitally defected puppies from breeders that would otherwise euthanize them. And then we have the emergency side. I'm very honored that they call us because they trust us to take care of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Cornell University, the best hospital in the country, calls us when they have a medical care that, you know, a dog was surrendered or something that happened in the ICU that the people can no longer afford or people can no longer take care of. You know, they call us to do it. Capital District Veterinary Referral Hospital, which is our main emergency hospital here, we get calls from them for parvo puppies left and right. So it's the branches just kind of ever growing with the project. And we've met some incredible people. I mean, I think that's how I got to this tangent, was talking about staying in touch with people. We had two dogs come in that we brought in from India last week. And I was at the emergency vet when a hit by car was brought in, and it's awful to see. And, you know, the family's frantic. And I went back the next day to pick the dogs up, and that family was still sitting in a car in front of the hospital. And I'm talking to the doctor, and I'm like, what's the deal? She's like, well, the dog needs an amputation. They're trying to figure out funding. You know, I understand vets are not, it's not a free mm-hmm. for all. They are a business, and they do as much as they possibly can.
Because they have to stay in business to be able to help other dogs.
Correct. And I said, let me go out and talk to them. And they're all like, oh, you know, I know what he's going to do. And I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go talk to them. And I walk out there and I walk up to him. I'm like, you know, I didn't introduce myself. I don't tell him anything about the project. Mm-hmm. I just recognize that I saw him here yesterday and today. And he's sitting in the driver's seat with all these coins that he's collected coins for years. And he's selling them on Facebook Marketplace to try to come up with money to pay this hit by this dog that they got that squeaked out the door while they opened the door mm-hmm. and they got hit by a car. He was selling coins to pay for this bill. And I ended up calling Marisa, and we ended up paying, you know, $1,000 towards their bill to bring that down. And the emotion, like when I tell them, you know, we want to help, they don't know me, I don't know them, but I know that if they didn't care for this dog, they would, you know, walk away, hands up, well, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's when we get a call from the emergency vet, say, hey, I need you to take this dog. So you meet some incredible people, and we're very lucky to be able to help and support these people.
It's great that you're able to contribute $1,000, but even if you had just said, here's a $5 bill, this is what I've got in my pocket right now, that would have meant the world to them, knowing that someone else was empathizing with what they were going through.
His girlfriend was there, and it's like, she was just blown away that people are, you know, she's always tried to be kind in her life. And now, you know, something's coming back to her. And mm-hmm. she's like, you know, it's just really, it meant a lot to her. And I, you know, she actually called me yesterday, letting me know that the dog had made it home from the amputation, is doing great. It's nice. But we have the senior side where they're in foster homes. We pay for all these expenses. And that, you know, when you say mom and pop, like we're a mom and pop, it's just Maurice and I that do this with expenses of a huge. I mean, we spent $700,000 on vet bills last year. So that's where the stress comes in.
And it's sad that you're raising and spending $700,000, yet there's still so much more to be done.
Oh, it's a drop in a bucket.
And that's where the burnout comes in, I think. You know, it just, there's no end in sight. There's no, you just can't catch up. You can't get ahead.
My wife, Dawn, and I find that very frustrating with Rosie Fund. We help as many dogs as we can, and we know that we're not helping all of them that need help. Yeah. And they just keep coming into the shelter and people surrendering senior dogs because they're senior, not because they can't take care of the dog. But then you see one picture of a dog that we've sponsored in their forever home, sleeping on a dog bed or playing in a yard. We helped one dog.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that helps. I mean, it helps to see the final product of the tears and the stress. And, you know, like Crouton is a dog that just came to us from New York City. And Marisa got a picture from the foster. You know, this is a dog with major, you know, head tilts like this. The whole body's twisted around. 13, 14 years old, somehow a stray in Brooklyn, but now just diving into a food bowl, you know, with a face covered in food. Like, that's worth more than anything.
I hope our listeners are inspired to take action, to be of service. I talk about this a lot on the show. It doesn't even have to be about dogs. If there's something else that's important to you, recycling, homeless, education, whatever is important to you, do something. Don't wait for someone else to decide, especially don't wait for the government to say, this is going to be our priority, because they can't handle everything and they don't know what's going on in your backyard. So what you can do to help locally, that's where it has to start. But I think an easy way to make a difference would be to help the Mr. Mo Project. So what are the different ways our listeners can help the Mr. Mo Project?
We're always looking for foster homes, forever foster homes, or even temporary foster homes, but we love to keep our seniors or special needs dogs in permanent forever foster homes where we pay the medical expenses for the rest of their life. We are based in New York, but our dogs are all over the country. We are always in need of donations, of course, and you can do that via PayPal or Venmo. I think you just search the Mr. Mo Project.
Yeah, if you go on our website, there's a button that you can click.
I will link to your website in the description for this episode, but then I will also put a direct link to the donation page. So there'll be a link both to your homepage and to your donation page. So it will be easy for our listeners to find it. And anyone who wants to foster, I'm looking at your webpage right now, right there in the menu, foster application, foster agreement. Couldn't be easier to start that process. And as Marisa said, all over the country. And and maybe they're not someplace that's accessible to where the Mr. Mo Project needs a dog. I guarantee you there is a shelter close to every listener that would love to have a foster. And even if you're not directly helping the Mr. Mo Project, that's going to be one less dog that will need to be part of the Mr. Mo Project.
Yep, absolutely.
So help out how you can, or start your own program, do the impossible like Chris and Marisa did.
Jump in feet first.
It's kind of like, what's the, like, how do you eat a car? One bite at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's how you start a not-for-profit. It's one bite at a time. It's like, okay, I've got to fill out this application. I have to wait for the government to approve this, and then I've got to submit that to my local state or whatever the rules are in your municipality. But bit by bit, you get through it, and it's overwhelming if you look at everything you have to do. But if you just start taking those steps, it'll fall into place.
There's a lot of great help guides online. You know, when we went through all of our getting the EIN number, getting the nonprofit status, getting the 501c3 status, making sure you're registered with the state and the Charities Bureau. There's a lot of guides out there to make sure that it isn't so overwhelming, because it is overwhelming when you look at, all right, I need to do all this, 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 and this. And you have to be so transparent. And that's one of the reasons where we have so much support in the sense of what we're doing, is because we don't hide things. Like, this is rescue. This is the highs, the lows. We don't hide anything from anybody. So when people donate, they know exactly what it's going to.
Yeah, it's not like George Costanza's The Human Fund on Seinfeld.
Right.
Like, where it just sounds like, oh, I guess they're doing something. And there are charities like that where you see the fundraiser and it's like, well, I'm not really sure what they do. Yeah. Where does this money go? If you look at the Mr. Mo website, it's pretty clear what you guys are doing. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, we put all of our tax documents and we don't hide anything. We have everything on the website because we want people to understand and trust they're helping a dog. They're helping a senior dog, a special needs dog. They're helping an animal.
What's the future for the Mr. Mo Project? Just keep plugging away? Are there any initiatives or projects that are in the works or dream?
We like to live month by month. Fundraising wise, we fundraise $60,000 a month. That's our goal, to keep the project running. I don't know. I mean, one day I'd hope to not to have to do this, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think everybody says that, don't you?
I'd like to take a vacation.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've probably earned a vacation. And as far as not having to do this anymore, we had Brent Tolner of Best Friends Animal Society on a few weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, talking about, it's more than that, I'd lose track of time in the age of COVID.
Yeah.
It could have been last year. But their goal is no kill shelters and no more strays in the United States.
Yeah.
And again, that's like eating the car. That's overwhelming, but one municipality at a time. But also groups like the Mr. Mo Project connecting dogs that need a home with people who are looking for a dog helps close that gap. And Julian Javor with Pet Rescue Pilots said this a couple weeks ago. He would be fine with not having to fly animals to Canada. Mm-hmm. He could find other ways to volunteer his airplane other than getting dogs out of kill shelters or out of overflowing shelters. And as he pointed out, there's always natural disasters and things that displace people and animals. There'll be other things for him to do. And it'd be nice if he had more resources to do those unavoidable things if we would all get together and fix these avoidable things, these fixable things, like getting senior and harder to adopt dogs in their forever home.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Listeners, whatever you can do to help or whatever you want to do to make this world a better place, to prove that we're worthy of dogs, to show that we're the kind of people that dogs think we are, there's lots that we can do. Let's do it. Chris, Marisa, any final thoughts for our listeners?
The one thing we always say is age is not a disease. And we just hope people realize that, and we'll give seniors a chance and special needs as well. We have a lot of special needs dogs, and they're just wonderful additions to our home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, thank you again for the work that you do and for taking time out to share your story with our listeners. And I hope that it will help your story spread and it will get you more donations and more fosters. I'm going to let you go so you can return the call to someone who needs the Mr. Mo Project.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, because this is the way you help spread our mission and help us put dogs in new homes, is by, you know, telling people who don't know about the project. So we really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you've been listening to Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Thank you to Marisa and Chris Hughes from the Mr. Mo Project. There's a link to their website and their donation page in the description. There are also links to the Dog Words episodes we referenced in today's interview. If you find an old episode you like, be sure to share it with your friends. Next time on Dog Words, Caitlin Thompson tells us how Melissa's Second Chances is uniting pets with their forever families. A big thank you to alternative string duo The Wires, featuring cellist Sasha Groshong and violinist Laurel Morgan Parks, for playing the wonderful music you've heard on today's and previous episodes of Dog Words. Supporting The Wires supports our mission. Now you can join Laurel and Sasha as they explore new music and delve into the inspiration behind each work as hosts of Sound Currents on 91.9 Classical KC. Click on the Sound Currents link in the description for more information. Learn more about The Wires at thewires.info and download their music on iTunes. Check out fiddlelife.com and learn to play fiddle and cello fiddle online from Laurel and Sasha, even if you've never played before. Celebrate 5 years of Rosie Fund by supporting our campaign to sponsor 50 dogs. You can donate on our website or Facebook page. You can also contribute by making a purchase from the website store, buying a t-shirt at bonfire.com, or putting some of our merch in your cart when you shop at Bark Yours. Links are in the description. Your donations help fund the Rosie Life Starter Kits that make sure these senior and harder-to-adopt dogs have some of the items they'll need in their forever home. As always, please download, follow, rate, and share Dog Words. This helps us with sponsorships, then Rosie Fund can help more dogs. Support Rosie Fund by following us on social media, and please subscribe to the free Rosie Fund YouTube channel. Our latest post features a sweet KC Pet Project dog looking for a forever home. Send us your comments, questions, and suggestions at rosiefund.org, and let us know if you would like to be a sponsor or a guest of the Dog Words podcast. Thank you for listening, and remember, we save each other.